The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will reflect on our Gospel from Luke and talk about how we listen to God's Word. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Celebrate life from conception till natural death. The 30th Annual Celebration for Life fundraising banquet will feature fine dining, music, prayer, inspirational speakers, Christian fellowship, and more, with proceeds benefiting Birthright of Corpus Christi, the Gabriel Project, and Corpus Christi Hope House. The date is Thursday, August 29th, 7 p.m. at Mansion Royal, 8001 South Padre Island Drive. The evening's guest speaker will be former abortionist and pro-life activist Dr. Anthony Levitino, who played an abortion doctor in the recently released film Unplanned, a movie telling the real-life story of Abby Johnson, a former Planned Parenthood director. Dr. Levitino and his wife Cecilia will share their inspirational story and experiences on their road to their pro-life conversion. For sponsorship, table, and ticket reservation information, please call Hope House, 361-852-2273. Celebrate life today. Call 852-2273.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Doing well, Barbara. And yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Well, we have a wonderful gospel today. It is from Luke, if you want to read it.
Certainly. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Gospel today talks about two friends, Martha and Mary, and of course Mary is not the Blessed Mother.
Right.
And I would think that most people could relate to both of these two women at one point in their lives or another.
Right. You know, and I think that's certainly an interpretation of it, you know, that there's the active side and the contemplative side, and certainly in the different charisms and orders in the church, we've seen this as kind of the model for the ones that are active as far as teaching or working in hospital, doing ministry, the doers, you know,
right.
And then there are the contemplatives, so there's the ones that are kind of model themselves after Mary, and that's certainly a way that it could be seen, or we could also see it in terms of personal temperaments.
Mm-hmm.
There are some who are introverts, there are some who are extroverts, and each one of us on a given day could pick one or the other.
Right.
But I think Jesus is certainly going a little bit deeper in the message, in something a little bit deeper than that. I remember this gospel one Sunday a number of years ago when I was in a parish. I was a pastor and really had a wonderful rapport with the parish. And I came out on this Sunday and I started off after reading the gospel. And I walked over to give the homily. And I, you know, it's typical. We're all in our own little worlds and thinking of our own things and distracted. And I just said, "I want everyone's complete and undivided attention." You could have heard a pin drop.
Oh, I bet.
Everyone looked up with eyes like they had just seen a ghost. What is he going to tell us? And as I just kind of quietly looked around, and everyone was looking, and I said, that's what Jesus was trying to tell Martha.
Wow.
I want your attention.
Wow.
And I think that basically is the message here, that in every situation, every moment, Jesus has so much to tell us. In just, as we talked about yesterday, the neighbor, you know, there's so much that we can learn in putting into practice the Word of God and loving our neighbor, serving whomever, that in through those experiences that Jesus speaks to us. And here, what Jesus was certainly, I'm sure he was a hungry visitor like the rest of us would be, he wasn't telling Martha not to prepare, but he was telling her the attitude by which to prepare it. She was complaining. She was anxious. She was worried, which is kind of a sign of selfishness.
It's her kind sister of a, wasn't helping.
Right. And so she complains. And so, you know, when you're when you become self-absorbed, which is anxious and worried, you point to others. And so you blame, you complain, and et cetera. And Jesus basically, I think, is the message to Martha is you're not loving. And Mary has chosen the better part because she is listening to my word, which is love, and learning how to do whatever she has to do, because she may have been the one that had to clean up.
Right,
we don't know. But she was already listening to how can I serve, not with a worried, anxious heart, but with a loving heart. And so it's allowing the word of God to take hold in us so that all that we do really becomes an expression of that love. And so it's not about doing, not doing, and all those kind of temperament messages, which can certainly be a part of it. But Jesus wanted Martha's undivided attention. Whatever you do, whether you're cooking, cleaning, praying, do it with love, you know.
So Mary, in essence, was like a pupil. I mean, she was sitting at his feet and listening to what he was saying.
Right.
And so he wants Martha to do that, and he, in essence, he wants all of us to do that, to
right.
listen to his word.
Because everything is love. I mean, if Martha, and this, not to pick on Martha, of course.
Right. Well, we all can be Martha sometimes.
Exactly. So we need to learn the lesson. If Martha was not less anxious, not worried, not blaming, but doing what she was doing out of love,
right.
she would have been like Mary, because she would have been listening interiorly to the voice of God, which speaks at us even in our activities. If we do it with a recollected heart, that we do it with the intention to love. Because if she were, of course, she had an incredible guest in her home, of course.
Right.
And so you can understand her being anxious and worried. But at the same time, she should have done, and I think what Jesus is saying, just do the simple things out with love. Put love into it, which is the intention, you know, in what you're doing, and you learn. You fulfill the commandment to love.
So when we're talking about fulfilling the commandment of love and paying attention, how do we do that? You know, because lots of times we are like Martha. We're busy and we're scurrying around and we're doing instead of being.
Well, yes, and there is a marvelous thing which is somewhat anti-American in our mentality, so we'd have to train ourselves, and that is the present moment, to live in the present moment with intention. We are so focused on what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen this afternoon, what happened yesterday. God is only in the present moment, and so if we are in the present moment, aware of who we are, aware who God is, aware who's around us, aware, and again yesterday, the Good Samaritan was aware that this person was his neighbor because he was in the present moment. The other two were off doing something. So again, it goes back to the present moment. Mary was absorbed by the presence of Jesus.
Right.
Martha was concerned about herself. Mm-hmm. She was anxious. She was worried. She was blaming Mary. Nobody's helping me. That's, in terms, selfishness. And when we're in that attitude, we're out of the present.
Mm-hmm.
So right. It's to live in the present moment. I remember one person a number of years ago. It was a mother who came to talk to me, and kind of the same reality. She wanted to love God, but she had to do this and this and this, and I get so distracted. And I said, you know, for the next week, just try to live each, and you won't be successful all the time. None of us are. But just try to live in the present moment, one moment after the next. You'll see what's there, but you'll also see what you're missing if you don't do that. And she came back a week later and just beaming.
Oh.
And she said, you know, I was standing in the line at the grocery store, and I remembered, be in the present moment. She said, I began to notice the people around me. I was loving the checkout person. A person behind me bumped me with the cart, you know, a couple of times unintentionally. Before, I would have been very irritated, but I realized this is my neighbor. So the key, I think, to this, and that's why Jesus is calling Martha's attention, the key is the present moment, because God can surprise us at any moment in life and in circumstances. And I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in knowing the Bible, knowing our catechism, and it's all, which is good. It's mm-hmm. It's a head awareness. It's an awareness that hopefully gets to our heart. But the Pope said that really we have to experience it, which mm-hmm. means it has to become life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may sound absurd to some people, but standing in the grocery line, loving the neighbor that is bumping you with the cart behind you and not getting angry, but actually loving them, that is living your faith.
Right.
And that's where your heart overflows with love for God and for neighbor. And that, I believe, to put it in more modern terms, mm-hmm. is probably what Jesus was pointing out to Martha and Mary. Mary's chosen the better part. She's chosen to live in the present moment, focused on the love of God in Jesus, where Mary was busy with her own self and her own needs, and she missed the real guest that was there in front of her.
Right, and what an opportunity she missed.
She missed the opportunity. But Jesus, as he does to all of us, calls us back and says, hey, listen up. Mm-hmm. I want your full and undivided attention in every present moment.
We are going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Curcio is a movement focusing on helping Christian lay people become effective Christian leaders. Included in a Curcio weekend are numerous talks, some by a priest and some by lay people. The goal is for those attendees to take what they have learned back into the world. Why not bring a friend and make a friend? An important point that is stressed is personal spiritual development. The Corpus Christi Curcio Center, 1200 Lantana, will offer a men's Curcio in English the weekend of September 26th through 29th. For more information or an application, call the pre-Curcio chairperson, Emma Boteo, at 361-853-2754.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, before the break, we were talking about how we listen to God's Word. And of course, there's been times when we're in church and we're listening to God's Word, and all of a sudden, you hear a phone go off. Now, you're standing at the front. I'm just sitting in the pews, and I hear it. How do you feel when that happens?
Well, I don't think it's how I feel. I think what I feel is a pity. Really, for the people, and it's certainly not condemning anyone, but I think it's something for all of us to pay attention to. I think it's more, what does God feel like?
Uh-huh.
If we really believe that it is the Lord speaking to us, in other words, at the end of our readings, we say the word of the Lord, which means God is speaking to you, and we all say, thanks be to God. Are we aware of what we're saying? So the Lord is speaking. God is speaking to us. And if we're not there with the openness of Mary to listen, we're going to miss it. And so when I see, and I have seen it, and in parishes here, there, and everywhere, where the phone rings and somebody walks out of church during the middle of a reading or in the middle of a homily and goes and chit-chats on the phone. Now, sometimes if a doctor's on call, you can certainly understand
things.
That's his life and his dedication to his vocation as a doctor or her vocation as a nurse or whatever. But at the same time, I've seen it where people are on glass windows in the back of churches outside chit-chatting on the phone when the Word of God is being proclaimed. And so here you can, I think that fits this Martha and Mary story very well. Martha, you're so distracted. Or John, you're so taken by your business deals that God is speaking to you inside and you're out either making a deal, chatting about something or whatever it is, you're missing an opportunity, which will never return.
Right.
We've all seen, I don't think it's me, we've all seen people texting.
Oh, yes.
In mass, reading bulletins. I used to serve in a parish in New York, and there was a young man, nice young man, but as soon as I would start the homily, and not to say I have the best homilies in the world, but he would open the Catholic New Yorker and read it right in front of me. We're not listening.
Right.
And it's an art. I mean, listening is certainly an art that we have to learn, to learn to silence the noises inside of us. They can wait, again, unless it's an emergency, but that person can wait. I don't really use myself as an example, but I certainly can, if it's helpful to people. But when I go to someone's home or I go to a meeting, I leave my phone in the car or I leave it somewhere where I can get to it when the meeting's over. But I don't know that there's anything that important that cannot wait. We've lost really a value of time. It has to be now. In the fast world that we live in, everything seems to have to be right now. And we become so attached to those things, that information or that event, or maybe that person's going to call me. Well, that's why we have voicemail. You know, when you compare, if God is going to speak to me in His Word at Mass, even my mother can wait 30 minutes, an hour, until I can pick up the voicemail and voice message and call her back. I just think we have to, many times we need to reevaluate what is so important in our life. And if we really believe, and this gospel again today is so important for this, if Jesus is sitting there in front of us speaking to us and I am not listening, then I'm going to miss what He may want to say to me, whereas Mary didn't miss it. She was there. She was there, in some ways oblivious to what was going on around her because she was so attached to the Word of God, to Jesus Himself, whereas Martha was not. She was busy. I'm sure if she had a cell phone, she would have been on the cell phone calling her neighbor to come help her, you know.
Right, right. Or texting her.
Or texting her, you know, get over here. That's right. So I just would encourage everyone out there, you know, if you haven't been to Mass today, or to really take that time, go in, sit in front of the Word of God today with an openness, without the anxieties, without the worries, without the phone. Leave it in the car. Well, in South Texas, I've learned don't leave it in the car. Turn it off, but put it in your purse or in your pocket because it'll burn in the car. But just turn it off and listen. Flying home 11 hours from Rome the other day, you can't use it there anyway.
That's right.
You know, certain places, you know, even in, I find it interesting in court, in courts, when you go in if you're summoned to a jury, at the door, you have to turn your cell phones off. And people obey that, but if you say it in church, they're offended. But, you know, really, if we were honest with ourselves and honest with what life is all about, it's about God and listening. So I would really encourage people to reevaluate these things so that we can take advantage of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. And it goes along with loving your neighbor, because many times you'll be in a conversation with somebody and they're texting or they're checking their email, and it's a lack of respect and love for who's across the table.
Exactly. It's a lack of understanding. This is my neighbor whom God has called me to love with my undivided attention to the end in this moment, not that one that's calling in.
Right. Well, as we're talking about listening to the Word of God, it's it relates very well with, of course, the third commandment, which is to keep holy the Sabbath day. And, you know, the premise of that was, of course, back in that time is the Sabbath, and you go to church and you rest. And, of course, a lot of that has been missing in our lives because we're either working or we're shopping or we're not taking time for family. So it's an important commandment for us to reflect upon.
Exactly. And, you know, I think, again, it's that whole notion of awareness. Mm-hmm. For us as Christians, that Sabbath day, that day of the Lord, is the day of our salvation, the day of our redemption, in which we say that every Sunday is an Easter Sunday. Because it's celebrating that mystery of mysteries of death and resurrection, that Christ, who was God for us, also one of us as a human being, but died for us and rose from the dead, and that is the pattern of life, that if we die to ourselves, if we die to our selfishness, and not so much as an ascetical activity, but through loving, because the more you're loving someone else, the more you're focused on the other, the less you're focused on yourself.
True.
And so the Sabbath day is really that Lord's day, the holy day, is the fact that Jesus himself humbled himself, became one of us, did not count himself as God, as St. Paul would say in the Philippians, but went to the death on the cross for us. And through that, God highly exalted him, and he was raised from the dead. That's the meaning of being a human being. Mm-hmm. That is the essence of our faith. That is the moment of moments for our life, that we have been redeemed and reconciled to God. That is what we celebrate at Mass. That is why we come to the liturgical celebration of the Mass, to hear God's Word, which is really the verbalization, really, you might say, of that one moment of Christ's self-sacrifice, and then to celebrate that in the Eucharist, in the celebration of the Mass, the Holy Mass, to again receive that love in Holy Communion and Eucharist. And from there, to spend the whole day apart from the normal activities of working, shopping, and all of these things, which, again, we get so absorbed in our busyness that, well, I can't go shopping because I'm working, and so we put off things, and they all kind of cave in on this day. You know, Pope John Paul II wrote a pastoral letter a few years ago on keeping holy the Lord's Day, and it's a beautiful current explanation. And he said, you know, on this day, as we attend Mass and we celebrate our redemption, we celebrate that Easter moment, you might say, spend it with other things, spend it with family, you know, give family a chance, spend time together, go to the park, or go visit the elderly, your grandparents, go to someone who may be sick, go to the park, have fun together, you know, do things as a family. And that really is keeping holy the Lord's Day. Right. Many of our activities foster us being apart from each other.
Mm-hmm. True.
I always had a trouble as a pastor in a parish having youth days on Sunday, because they should be with their family and learn what family, the beauty of family life. So really, the keeping the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, holy all day long, is not just going to Mass together. And certainly that is the heart. Mm-hmm. And the center of it, but continuing that as a body, as a family, in the larger family, you know, with friends, but really healthily spending that time together, creating a beautiful rapport with one another, is keeping holy that day.
And wouldn't you think also, since people work such varied schedules, you know, if they're working on Sundays, there's Saturday, and we have Saturday evening Mass, and spending some time on Saturdays. with their families.
Sure. I mean, the economy, we can't be overly idealistic.
Right.
Our economy is our economy. But we need to find, we have to be creative.
Exactly.
I think people, and I'm glad you brought that up, because we don't want to make people feel that have to work on Sunday because of their job, their livelihood, to feel less, mm-hmm. but to look for creative ways, you know, mm-hmm. maybe spend that time with the family on a Wednesday afternoon or something, mm-hmm. to be creative. But certainly the celebration of the Eucharist, we have masses in the city and throughout the diocese almost 24 hours within a 24-hour period, so everyone can celebrate the Eucharist together. But find time to spend with family. I would say that would be a highlight for me in keeping holy the Sabbath day, and it's certainly what Jesus did in this gospel as he came together with Martha and Mary, their friends. He gathered them together, and that's the whole spirit of this Sunday, is that Jesus gathers us together as people.
So that we can be his pupils.
Exactly.
Okay. Do you have a closing prayer for us today?
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we keep this day holy, we ask you to open our hearts to listen to the word of your Son as he speaks to us in his word, and also speaks to us in the events of life. We also ask you to bless our families, to make them holy, and as they gather together in the name of Jesus, that they may know your love and experience it in their lives. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Mulvey, and to all of our listeners this Sunday morning. Have a wonderful day and blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.